Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
We would like to acknowledge that this podcast maiden is being held on Aboriginal land, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. And we would like to pay respect to their elders past, present and emerging. And their multiple birth parents with children with disabilities.
And this week's episode, we are speaking to Harry Mesger, Chelsea Hagwitherden and Anna Mesger to hear all about the Berlin World Games 2023 for Special Olympics.
This podcast contains truth, laughter and the occasional F word, so it's not really suitable for children.
Sometimes you just have to get your shits out. Shit, 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 shit. That's right, this is a language warning. Oh, shit.
Hi, everyone, it's Mandy here. I took my little portable recording device down to the Victorian State Games, and we welcomed back the Victorians from the Australian team that had been in Berlin. And so it was my chance to speak to Harry and Chelsea and find out all about what it was like to represent Australia, to win medals, to fly all the way to Berlin, all those amazing things. And then at the end of the episode, Kate and I record and speak to Anna, Harry's mum, but also a member on the board of Special Olympics Australia. And we've interviewed Anna before, but we really wanted to hear what was it like being a part of the World Games. So I hope you enjoy this episode and let's hear from them. So it's Mandy here and we're at Casey Fields and we are at the Victorian State Special Olympics Games. And I have a few special people here that have come back from a trip around the other side of the world. Would you like to say hello and introduce yourself?
Hello, my name's Harry and I'm one of the athletes that have just returned from Germany on Thursday morning. Really, really early, Maddie.
Some of you will remember Harry. He did a lot of our interviewing on our Special Olympics episode down in Launceston. So you have a lot of fans, Harry, on the podcast.
I really hope so.
Harry is sitting here in his Australian tracksuit looking pretty fantastic. Harry, tell me, what was it like at that opening ceremony in Berlin?
Man, to be honest with you, it was unbelievable. It was like the Olympics. There was so many spectators. The stadium was full of people, and it was just crazy. It was 7,000 athletes as well in there. So it was just amazing, and the people were lovely, and yeah, it was just marvelous. And there was the atmosphere was amazing. It was in the big Olympic stadium where they had the Olympic Games all those years ago in Germany. And it was enormous. It's simply enormous and breathtaking.
Oh, breathtaking. That's a great word. I was watching it at home and I was crying. Like, what was the emotions like?
Oh, a bit of everything. A bit of emotion, a bit of sadness, a bit of joy, and a lot of shock as well. Just because when I walked in, I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. This is actually happening. It's full of people.
Yeah. And tell me, who did you hang around with in that time? Were you getting to know some athletes from other places, or were you just sticking to Australia?
I guess this started that I was kind of getting to with Australia, but the team that went to athletics, there was quite a few people from the state that I hadn't really got to know at the national games. So it was just nice to get to know those people as well. But also I got the chance over the time and the trip to meet some people from all around the world. And that's where I met a friend from Israel named Ron. And yeah, we kind of started talking, but there was lots of new people that I met that was just wonderful. And that's what sports all about, is connecting with people with similar interests to you and sharing things and sharing the moments with them as well.
Can you tell me what you competed in?
I competed in the 3,000, that's 7.5 laps. The 10K, that's 25 laps, as the viewers probably remember from the last podcast.
Yes.
And the team relay, that's, yeah, just half a lap.
Wow. And which race did you do first?
Oh, I did the 10K. But honestly, the organisers probably missed a trick there, just because usually at national games how it worked was I did the 3K, the 5, then the 10. I think doing the 10 first was a bit cheeky. Mm. Just because it's not for athletes that want to do their best and want to do the longest possible race, doing it first is a bit... Last is a bit of a risk.
Yeah.
Just because you're more injury prone for things to happen. Yeah.
Okay, I understand that. And what did it feel like? I'm going back a step. What did it feel like putting on the green and gold?
Oh, it's pretty surreal, man. Like from previous experiences, because I've represented Australia a few times.
Right.
But this one felt really different. Just because it was, yeah, for Special Olympics, and there was so many more athletes that I've ever experienced. Like at athletics, there was... Yeah, 700 people, 700 athletes. That's an enormous amount. It's nearly as big as the amount of athletes in Victoria.
Yes.
It's 200 more people, really.
Yes. And okay, let's talk about you representing Australia as well, because you were in Europe before the Special Olympics Games. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Awesome. So the first part of the trip that I went on the 1st of June, it's a month ago now because today's the 1st of July. And I was competing at the Virtus World Champs in Paris, but it was in Vichy. And I was competing in cycling, and it was velodrome cycling and road cycling. But what that made that trip so long as well was we had to put the bikes together. So we had the mechanics putting bikes together, and that took quite a while. And we
Can you explain what the Virtus Games is?
Basically what the Virtus Games, Maddie, and everyone out there, is for people with an intellectual disability. But it's... The Paralympics is kind of up here. Obviously, you can't see with my hand at the moment. And the Virtus Games are one level just below the Paralympics. So it's quite an elite kind of event for athletes.
Yeah, got it. So you were in... Where were you?
Vichy. So Vichy is, I think, north or south of Paris.
Paris, yeah. So you went from France to Germany.
Yeah, and it was about an hour. It was an hour and a half plane, but the problem was it became a 4-hour flight, because one time when I was waiting for the plane and everyone was queued up to hop on the plane, one of the cabin crew people came and said, "God, everyone, you got to go back to your seats." I'm like, "What's going on?" Then I asked one of the cabin crew people, and I said, "The reason you're not hopping on the plane is because one of the cabin crew people has slept in, hasn't turned up." And then a few hours later, the person came up and everyone was going, "Yay!" And everyone was cheering their heads off. Yeah, so, and then the other thing that made it extra as long was Germany wasn't allowing us to travel in, because, you know,
right.
Most countries, I think, if a route's at risk of crashing with a plane, they kind of delay the flights.
Right, because so, when I was watching the flights in Europe, because I've watched Flight Radar, there are so many planes.
Yeah, so in our case, we weren't allowed to weren't allowed to take off, so we had to wait a few while. But yeah, by the time we took off, it was 4 hours.
So there's been a lot of travel. It was a long flight over to Europe and then a long flight home.
It was, yeah. It was about a... Coming back was about 37 hours because we left on Thursday, one of the early... We woke up at like 3:10 and we were on a bus, a 4:30 bus.
Really hard. Tell me about... Did you go and watch any other sports in Berlin?
I did. With Chelsea, I did. We went and watched some gymnastics and that was fantastic. There's a lot of enthusiastic people and people get involved. And we watched some... What else did I watch? I watched basketball and I watched the Australian girls kind of play and they actually came third.
Okay, tell us about... what was the food like?
Oh, the food was amazing. In France, the food was incredible. The cheeses were good. The baguettes were good. So I tried some cheese here and I think the cheese there is slightly better.
Yeah, well,
it's just a lot more fresher flavour and you can't stop eating it.
Wow, I'm glad I don't live there.
me too.
And what was one of the most trickiest things about being away?
Oh, I think the trickiest thing was the direction of the cars. You know, in Australia, we go a specific way when we're driving. In Europe, it's the opposite way. So your chance of crashing when you come back from Australia is very high.
Yeah, because you have your license, don't you?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. And it's taken me a little while to kind of get used to the people walking on the opposite side to what I was walking on and people driving.
Yes.
Yeah, and also when you're driving, is what and you're turning. It's actually a sharper corner turn.
Yes.
And you feel like a car's going to hit you, but it's actually not because of the narrow gap.
Yeah. Have you been to Europe before?
I have. Yeah, I've been a few times.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, I've been to Paris once and I've been to Croatia and a few other countries and France for skiing.
Oh, right. Okay. So I've been to a few places. Yeah. Is that you've represented Australia in snow sports as well?
No, I haven't, but I competed in Portugal. That was actually the first time I represented Australia. I was about 18 at the time, and I competed at the world. As you can hear, there's a bit of cheering there. In the half marathon, half marathon champs.
And what was the best thing that ever happened?
Oh, I think the best thing that happened was winning a medal at the Virtus Games this time around.
Yeah.
But also winning, three medals at the Special Olympics World Games as well. But
what did you win? What medals did you win?
I won a second in the Velodrome team sprint.
Yep.
So how that works is you do one, so you have three people. And then you kind of one person does a full lap, they hop pop the top of the track, and then the two go, and then the last person finishes the lap.
Mm.
So yeah, it's pretty complicated.
Yeah.
And the three medals I won at Special Mix was for the 10K. It was a bronze. 3K was a bronze, and the relay was a bronze.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Maddie. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun, Yeah, a lot of joy for like the parents that came and the supporters of the people that went as
Tell
well.
Me who was there to support you.
For the first part, my dad was. So my dad watched all the cycling and took some amazing pictures and probably, got a bit nervous, especially in the road race because that was at a beautiful village in Vichy. And it was a criterion. So a criterion's like a crit, so you do a specific amount of laps.
Mm.
In that there was about 30 odd people, and each time we went around the corner, it was pretty dangerous.
No, right.
Because your chance of hitting someone was pretty high.
Yeah.
But Dad was there for quite a bit. In Germany, Mum went to both, but she, Mum and some family friends, came and watched me, and really, really loved the moments, and also cherish those moments for the rest of their lives as well.
Yeah, because they love you. And to see you shining for Australia is the most magical thing a parent could ever imagine.
Sure is, and it's something parents don't honestly, like, they dream of, but they don't necessarily believe it's going to happen.
Yeah. And your parents have seen you since you were a newborn baby turn into this magnificent man.
Yeah, it's quite remarkable, man. I honestly didn't think I would have represented Australia already, you know, 5 times. It's pretty unreal.
Has there been times in your life where you thought this stuff would never happen to you because of your disability, or?
Yes, yeah, definitely. Especially with my cycling. I think it was year two or year three at school, and I learned how to ride a bike. Mm. And I was actually at, you probably, do you know Ballilla? It's a park in Brighton.
Yeah, no, I don't.
So that was actually, I remember it was one day I was at Ballilla with my mum and my dad. My dad was pushing me, he was pushing behind the bike and pushed me off and tried to get me going. Mm. And I got going.
And you never stopped.
It was the first time I rode a two-wheeler bike.
Yeah, you've never forgotten that.
No. And same with walking. I can remember when I started walking.
Can you?
Yeah. And it was just special. Because those small things become big things later, have become big things in later in life.
Yeah, they do. Now, you are now back. Oh, let me hear about, what was the closing ceremony night like?
Oh, it's more like a party, really. Yeah. But it was a chance to trade pins, because big part of the thing is you... Like, at the beginning, we got 11 pins to trade with other countries. So we used that kind of closing ceremony as a chance to trade some pins and trade some uniform. And also,
who did you give your uniform to? Illegally
at the time, I gave my jacket to, a jumper to a friend from Israel. And he gave me his jacket from Israel as well.
Yeah, and you showed me a picture that he sent you. What was it?
It was a picture of my Australian jumper on his clothesline, because he's washing it out, so I feel like it on his way back to Israel it might have got a bit wet.
He's washed out the smell of Harry.
He probably has.
And now you're back and you've come straight to the state games. My goodness, you looked a bit tired this morning.
I picked it up though. A good coffee does the damage.
And then today, what is your role here?
I'm just here to kind of support the athletes and do the medals as well. Yeah. And
you graduated from the Athlete Leadership Program. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
So what that involves, and it was 2 years of hard work, it kind of involves doing a lot of leadership. You go on a camp with the other athlete leaders and you go and do volunteer things. Could be go and speak at a school, could be going and giving out medals, could be doing something for the community. And so that's kind of what it is. The Athlete Leader Program involves just getting the skills to be able to run, and show leadership to other athletes and get the best out of them as well. And
yeah, well, congratulations to that. You finished that.
Yeah,
that was awesome. 2 years.
You picked that off. Yeah, 2 years of the best. And it's been enormous growth. Like, I'm on the state committee at the moment and the National Input Council with with national athletes from all around the world. So,
and what does that mean when you're on that committee?
The national one. Basically what it means is I kind of work closely with national athletes. Mm. And they kind of, we talk about what we can do to make Special Olympics more special, greater for other athletes. And
what do you have in mind? Because you've seen a lot now. You've seen how the whole world does Special Olympics.
Yeah. Well, I guess what I've got in mind is just to try and make it more inclusive and add more sports in. Because as I saw from the World Games, there's a lot of sports still that we're not really getting to. Like, there was hockey, for example. There was kayaking, for example. So, I know you need funding to do those sports, but there's and even cycling, but there's definitely real potential for the future for Special Olympics in Victoria and Australia. And we can, I can picture the next 10 or 15 years, we have so many more sports and we're at an amazingly awesome kind of place with our sport, and more people are taking part in sport that, weren't around a few years ago.
Yeah, I mean, come on, Australian government.
Yeah, they've got to add some funding in, surely.
Yeah, well, they do. And we like to tell people on our podcast.
Yeah, we sure do. They need to get a big paycheck.
Now tell me, what do you have to do, like, after this weekend? You're going back to...
To work.
To work. Tell us about your work.
Oh, I work at a hospital. So my job at a hospital, and it's Masada, so I hope... Some people from Masada are listening to this.
Oh, I'm sure they will be.
Rubbish back at work when I get back. I work as an allied health assistant. So what that is, it's an assistant to a physiotherapist and an OT. So we're basically the number two to those two disciplines. And it's a wonderful hospital. And I work with people that are not particularly well and need rehab. Mm. And saying that, I've met some amazing people through that. And they've got amazing stories. There was one lady that I met... And she's not at the hospital now, but she's I think, followed me quite closely when I was away. So it's just those people that you meet that just make it all worthwhile.
Was it difficult to find a job?
It was, yeah. Like, with a disability, that type of area is really... It's super difficult to get working because it's so competitive. And a lot of people you're competing against for work haven't got a disability in that area because you have to go to university and study. It's not something that everyone can do.
You have studied quite a bit, though. What do you? What qualifications do you have?
I've got a Cert 4 in Allied Health Assistance in Sport and Physiotherapy and OT. And also I've got a Diploma of Leadership and Management and a Diploma of Sports Development.
Yeah, so you are qualified.
Yeah, maybe overqualified for some jobs.
Yeah, well, that's also what can happen sometimes, isn't it?
It is. It really is. And being overqualified can be a bit of a disadvantage. Just because employers might look at your CV and go, man, this person's... Why are you applying for this job? This is insane. Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Well, congratulations on getting the job at Masada. They don't know how amazing they are to have you.
Oh, thank you very much, Manny. And, yeah, that I think they've been paying me back with treats. Because a lot of patients like provide us with chocolates, so we're always eating.
Yeah, I bet you are.
That's probably where all the extra 2 kilos have come from.
Well, thank you, Harry, for speaking to us today. I know you're a bit jet lagged.
I'm a little bit jet lagged. It feels like it's night time. It's more really, really early morning there.
So I just want to encourage you that you are a fabulous leader in our club, Melbourne Inner East. You're a great support to my daughter as well as all the other athletes, and you are just a shining star in our club. We were so proud of you, so congratulations.
Thanks, Manny. And it's been lovely to talk to everyone again, and I look forward to talking really, really soon.
Yeah. 2 Peas in Podcast loves Harry Metzger, hey?
They sure do, and Harry loves 2 Peas in a Pod.
And I think one day we need a Netflix special with Harry and Chelsea and some of these guys. Follow you around the world, all the amazing things you do.
Yeah, that sounds like a great idea.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, Harry.
Thanks, Mandy. Thank you.
No surprise, but the interviewer forgot something. So, Harry, tell me about the award you were nominated for and what it was all about.
Thanks, Mandy, for reminding me. The award that I was nominated was the Young Persons Award, Channel 7 Young Persons Award. And basically what the award is for is for someone's contribution to the community. So how it works is, to start with, there was 30 people that was nominated for the award in the category. Then I broke it down to 10 people, then to 4 people, then the finalists, then the winner. So I was nominated as a finalist for the award. So one night, myself and some of the Special Olympics people that nominated me went to this beautiful, the Sofitel Hotel. It was, the food was amazing. Probably ate a bit too much food. All the finalists kind of got a certificate, and then I had a photo of the person up there. Then after that, they announced a winner, and I was hopping off stage and about to go back to my seat. Then I ran out, the winner is Harry Metzger. So I had to sneak up on the stage, and I won.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Maddie. And yeah, the audience are probably thinking, Why was I nominated? The reason I was nominated was through my hard work to Special Olympics and my dedication to being an advocate for people with a disability as well. And it was just wonderful. Like, winning an award is so special. But yeah, sometimes people do things without being acknowledged. So just being acknowledged was just...
And in a mainstream setting.
Of course. Yeah. And it was just a very special thing. And it was actually on Channel 7 a few weeks ago now, a month or two ago now, so you'd be able to rewatch the part again.
I think they posted it on our Special Olympics Melbourne Inner East page, so you might be able to go back and watch that. But yeah. I was watching it crying.
Really?
Yeah.
I think everyone on my table was crying. I had no idea what had happened. When I read my name, I was like, is this a mistake? Has someone accidentally written my name on the winner's list?
You were nominated for a reason. You met all their criteria, so you deserve to win.
Yeah, I know. But sometimes people feel they're going to win, and then they get too excited and they go, oh.
So you just had to have low expectations.
Yeah, you can't have the highest expectations.
Yeah, true. I try to live my life by that, hey? Of course, high hopes and low expectations.
Of course. Yeah.
Okay, well, we're adding that in because I forgot to say that, so thank you.
No worries, Mandy. And hopefully I've inspired everyone and look forward to... Hearing to everyone really soon.
Yeah, Thanks, Harry. Bye. And I have another special athlete here to introduce you, and you might remember her from our Special Olympics interviews as well. Can you say your name?
My name is Chelsea Haig-Witherden.
Yeah, well, thank you for coming on my little podcast, our little podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It's honestly an honour to be back here.
Now tell me, where have you just been?
Well, I was just in Berlin for the Special Olympics World Games.
And you just got home when?
Literally very early on Thursday morning.
Chelsea, tell me what it was like when you were chosen to be on the Australian team.
When I first got the announcement that I had been selected, I was like, wait, what? I did that good to have been selected. And so from that point onwards, I was like, I have to amp up my training tenfold.
So tell me, what do you compete in?
So I compete in athletics, and my specialty is throws.
And so what did you do in Berlin?
So in Berlin, I did shot put, turbo javelin, and the 4x100 meter mixed relay.
Can you tell everyone what the turbo javelin is?
It's basically a javelin crossed with a vortex. So instead of a metal tip like on a traditional javelin, it's got a rubber tip on one end, and then the other end has projectile fins like on a vortex, and it's also a little bit shorter than a regular javelin, so in a way it's much safer to throw.
And tell me, what was it like getting on that plane to head to Berlin?
Honestly, I was like, am I really here now? Oh, I mean, not only was I going over with some of my closest friends from my club and state, but also having the opportunity to basically compete with some of my fellow competitors from both New South Wales and Queensland.
Amazing. How did it feel when you put the uniform on?
Honestly, it felt really good. Like, I finally fulfilled something that I've been dying to do for the last few years, and let's just say green and yellow definitely suits me.
It sure does. What was it like walking out into that opening ceremony?
Oh, the atmosphere was just electric. Like walking into the same stadium that the Olympians walked in for the Olympics. I think it was like 90 years ago or something like that. It was just whew. And then the whole atmosphere was just so, so good.
When I was watching it in the morning here, it just looked like everyone was just so happy.
Oh, yeah, everyone was so happy. And not to be biased or anything, but I think Team Australia looked the best because our uniforms were actually supplied by Jagged, and our shoes were actually donated to us by the Australian Olympic Committee. They had a whole bunch of shoes left over from the last Olympics, and they decided to give every single athlete and official that were going to these World Games a pair of shoes to wear for the opening ceremony.
How special.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So big shout out to Jagged and the Australian Olympic Committee for providing us with such wonderful uniforms. And I'm sure I'll be able to wear this uniform with pride for many years to come.
The rest of your life, Chelsea. It's amazing. When was your first event? Was it in the first couple of days or did you have to wait?
It was in the first couple of days. So what happened was for shotput, I had to go through quarters, which is kind of like divisioning to find out where everyone's at. Then I had to go through semis, which is kind of like divisioning again, and then finals, and it's the finals that determines the medals. And same thing with the turbo javelin, except I didn't have quarters. So
turbo jab was first, wasn't it?
No, shotput was first.
Okay, sorry.
No, that's okay. So originally I was in the top division, but I was moved down to the next division and below.
Right. And how did that feel when they moved your section?
Honestly, it didn't really faze me too much. It's because I knew I just had to focus on my own competition. And some of the girls that were throwing in that very top division were throwing 8, 9, 10, even 10 metres at some point.
Right, right. Yeah. And what's your PB?
My personal best is 7.63. That I threw in Tassie last year.
Oh, right. So, okay, you get out there and you're looking at all the other competitors and you're thinking, what are you thinking?
honestly, yeah, I'm just thinking, you know, you've got this, you've trained hard for this, you've overcome a lot of obstacles to get to this point, and you just have to focus on your own competition. And, you know,
you have a world-class shot put coach, don't you?
Yes, I do, and in Gus Puopolo. Apologies if I'm saying that.
Gus Puopolo.
That. Thank you. Who I train with out of Ringwood Athletics Club. Honestly, if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have been able to do as well as I did in shot put and become a world champion, I guess you could say.
And I know Gus, and he's super proud of you.
Oh, I have no doubt about that. So I guess you could say that world champion definitely does ring a bell for me now.
And so when you got on that podium and they gave you the gold medal, how did you feel?
Honestly, I was like, I can't believe I just did that. And, you know, given how many obstacles I've had to overcome, I mean, that sort of thing, and I knew that I not only made myself, my family and my team proud, but also the rest of Australia proud as well.
Yeah, and you have had some obstacles in the last little while, but what's it been like for you as a person with a disability navigating, like, being an athlete, trying to find work, all those things, because you're in your early 20s, aren't you?
Yeah, I just turned 23, yeah. Honestly, it has its ups and downs, but honestly, whenever you do find those highs, you just have to make the most of it, you know? But even when you have your lows, you know, you always have to find ways to, you know, navigate your way through them, you know?
How have you learnt to do that?
Honestly, I've just been just talking to people about how I'm feeling, how things have been going and all that sort of thing, and I do have an amazing support network behind me, and in my mum and my two sisters, and also all my friends through Special Olympics as well, and even both of your daughters have been such amazing supports for me as well.
My family really loved you, and you've been a terrific friend, haven't you? And so I asked Harry before, tell us about the Athlete Leadership Program, because you've just finished that, haven't you?
Yeah. So the Athlete Leadership Program, it basically gives a select group of athletes every year the opportunity to develop their skills, to, like, not only helping out their fellow athletes, but also giving them the chance to promote Special Olympics at various events like public speaking, helping out at expos, and even just helping out at sporting events like the state games here today.
I mean, I think that's one of the great things about Special Olympics is there's avenues for you to learn. It's not just about sport.
Oh yeah, for sure. Or like, the Athlete Leadership Program for me has definitely become an integral part in helping me not only develop my character on the field, but also off the field as well. Or like, I've had people tell me stories about being excluded from sport and all that sort of thing, and honestly, that just makes me sad. So, you know, having the opportunity. Another aspect of the program for me is being able to share my story about Special Olympics and that sort of thing. So,
what does it mean to you being a member of Special Olympics, being a member of a club, of a state, of a country?
Honestly, it means a lot because in my younger years I really didn't have that feeling of inclusion, but since I've been with Special Olympics, it's just, I've been able to find new avenues, not just on the field, but off the field as well. Also,
it gives you friendships, and you've got a boyfriend, and he's part of Special Olympics too?
Oh, yeah, of course. And I've even been able to have opportunities that I never even thought I'd be able to have because of my position with the law enforcement torch run.
Yes, I was going to ask about that. Tell me more.
So I'm the athlete representative on the Law Enforcement Torch Run, or LETR, International Executive Council. I'm basically the voice for, like, over 5 million athletes around the world. So it's a lot. But
it's a huge responsibility.
But somehow I make it easy. And but no, it's honestly a really good...
What an honour.
It's honestly a really good experience, and... this is only the second time that an athlete outside of the US has held my position. And so, honestly...
You deserve it.
Yeah, so honestly, it not only has it been great for me, but everyone on the council from, like, the US, Europe, and even those that are in, like, the Caribbean or Middle Eastern countries have had the opportunity to see what an athlete from Australia on the council has been, is about. So, and they've just, we've, all of us have just loved it every single step of the way.
Do you have any more trips overseas with LETR?
I have one more with LETR later this year. So every year the LETR holds an international conference. This year it's going to be held in Chicago at the end of October this year. And that'll be my final commitment on the council before I have to hand the reins over to someone else, which...
How will that feel?
Honestly, I think I'm going to be just as emotional as saying goodbye to my Team Australia competitors in Brisbane. So
tell me about saying goodbye to them. How did that feel?
Honestly, I did not want to say goodbye to them because I didn't have any family over in Berlin with me. So the athletes I competed with, including Harry, as well as the coaches I was with, they just became like my travel family, the coaches being like my temporary travel mother and father, and the athletes becoming like all my brothers and sisters.
Did you have team support there? As in someone just for you or looking after you and a few athletes?
No. So because it was because the athletics team was so much smaller than what it was at the national games, each of the three coaches had... three or four athletes, and
got it.
So essentially the coaches were like not only coaches but also team support in a way.
Can you also give a little shout out to one of your sister, because she also represented Australia?
Yeah, so my sister Montana, who's a basketballer, she went to represent Australia before, or I went to Berlin at the Virtus Global Games in Vichy, France, where she walked away with a silver medal.
I mean, what a family.
I know, we're all pretty sporty, and honestly, my mum's honestly so proud of all three of us. So,
of course she is, and your mum is, you know, doing such a great job with your family, isn't she?
Yeah, honestly, she is. She's probably one of the bravest women I've ever met.
You're a terrific support to her, Chelsea.
Well, I do what I can, so...
So thank you for speaking to us. What is your dream for Special Olympics now that you've seen it on a world scale? Because Harry's got a few ideas.
Well, honestly, I would ideally like to go to another World Games, because fingers crossed that the next World Games are hopefully going to be held in Perth.
They've done the bid, but we don't know yet.
Yeah, hopefully we'll find out soon. So if I get selected for the next one, great, but... regardless if I get selected or not, I would like to go to the next ones, whether to be an athlete if I get selected, to be a supporter, or even to volunteer, because when I was over there, I noticed that there were people with disabilities doing the medal presentation. It's like carrying out the trays of medals and that sort of thing. So I was speaking to Harry about it, and we thought that could be something that we would like to do to add to our athlete leadership resume.
Yes. A certain person in my house has applied to be an athlete representative. We don't know yet. But what would you say is some encouragement for her about being an athlete leader?
Honestly, just be yourself, because you're only as true as your own story. So if you get it asked how you got into Special Olympics, just really tell it from your perspective. And so...
thank you, Chelsea. Thanks. The 2Ps listeners will absolutely love you and cheer you on. We've got to get going because you've got to do long jump.
Yes.
So thank you so much, Chelsea.
Thank you so much, Mandy. And thank you very much again.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
And so we've just heard from Harry and Chelsea, and we have Harry's mum, Anna, back on the podcast because we interviewed her, I think it was last year or the year before even. Mm. So do you want to say hi, Anna?
Hello. I think it was the year before. It was before National Games.
And yes, it was.
Or early last year.
Early last year, yeah. Yeah.
Lots of things have happened.
Heaps. And you were in the pod bar and we are on Zoom now. Mm. So thanks for coming back on.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it was so lovely to see Harry after the Berlin Games at the State Games, and we just sat in the freezing cold and he told me many stories. I saw all the medals. So what a time you've had.
Oh, an absolutely brilliant time. And, you know, it's just lovely. I keep finding myself scrolling through my photos and Facebook as all the memories come up because it all happens very fast, while you're there, a once in a lifetime opportunity. I've certainly never experienced anything like that.
Yeah. Mm. Well, let's just remind people that you are obviously a parent, and you have played lots of roles in Special Olympics locally. But tell us about your role in Special Olympics Australia.
So I'm a director. I sit on the board of Special Olympics Australia. This is my fourth year going in. I've just been recently re-elected. So I wanted to go to Berlin as a parent, of course, but I also wore another hat there at the World Games, and that was one of a director. So that enabled me to go and see all the sports, which was fantastic. And I'm such a sports tragic that it was brilliant. I got to see all the Australians in action, meet the families, and also, a number of the people that work and volunteer in Special Olympics from around the world. It was a great opportunity for us to meet and talk about our various programs and sharing this inclusive movement, which is, based in sport, but so much more than sport.
Oh, yeah. And I was watching it. I mean, my Facebook feed was drowning in it.
Good.
And so that's not everybody else's was, but mine was just like, I'd be getting like Special Olympics, Prince Edward Island, Canada. I'd be I love them.
I follow them all.
Yeah, I'm following everyone. So can you explain about Special Olympics, World Games, how often it's on, et cetera?
I'd love to. This was my first World Games.
Right.
And it's held, the Summer Games are held every 4 years.
Yep.
And the Winter Games, which is more, around those snow sports games, are held, every 4 years. But so the next games will be Winter Games in 2 years in Turin in Italy.
Wow.
So which will be amazing. Mm. The Summer Games, which is the larger of the two games, is held every 4 years. And in Berlin, there were 7,000 athletes.
Wow.
Across 190 delegations from around the world.
Wow.
26 sports and 18,000 volunteers.
Far out.
Well, I've got goosebumps. 18,000?
Where do they all sleep? Like, how does the actual logistics work?
You don't sleep because you're so busy. The accommodation really is such a huge thing. And the athlete, because the athletes all stay together in their teams, which is an absolutely wonderful part of the game. So, think of the Olympics. It's like the Olympics. Mm. They're in an athlete village. And in Harry's hotel, Australia was on one floor, the US was on another, they shared the Denmark. So they got to meet people from all around the world. Mm. Harry is still in contact with many of the friends that he made from around the world. So It's a very big event. It's the largest inclusive sort of sporting event that happens worldwide. And particularly, the, you know, there's a we know that there's a lot of sporting events going on around the world as we speak, you know, Tour de France and different events. But this is actually the largest in terms of number of people involved. And Berlin did the most amazing job of hosting us. Even things like public transport was free all week.
Right.
Wow.
Great to get around. They wanted to make it a green games,
right?
So it was all about using the public transport. And there were, the sport was held in 8 different venues, so 26 sports, but just in 8 different venues. You get to go and see, you know, you might go to the Messe Center, which had, you know, about 10 different sports.
Yes. So
you
could go
sport to sport.
And where's so the next great. One going to be held? Do they announce it?
Well, that's a question.
Okay.
Australia has a bid in for it to be hosted in Perth, and we don't yet know where that will be. We'll have to wait and see.
I was just looking at it thinking, could Perth handle it? Sorry, Perth people, but I was like, this is enormous.
Yeah.
Yes. It is enormous, and Perth can handle it.
Yeah.
That was part of the bid that you
have to prove.
Yeah.
But we need to sort of go through the hoops and see if we can actually host it. But, you know, that was also part of being over there, was to see what's involved.
Yeah.
Australia competed in 9 of the 26 sports.
Right.
We do offer more than the 9 in Australia, but there are sports that we don't offer in Australia that we need to learn about and would host and you know, that was fantastic. Powerlifting. That was one of the biggest spectator sports. There were kids into powerlifting.
Yeah,
it was enormous. Badminton. I went and watched the cycle. Which I have an interest in.
Yes.
That was held at Brandenburg Gates.
Yeah.
So they closed all the roads for this wonderful cycling event. And I went and actually met the venue manager. She's off working at the Tour de France now.
Of course.
Yeah.
But, you know, they really ran it so professionally.
Well, yes, you could tell.
How they put all the sports together. And the athletes were treated absolutely as, you know, superstar athletes.
As they should be.
Yeah. I mean, we had a taste of that in Launceston for myself, just seeing how magically everyone was loved and, treated so respectfully. I can imagine on that level.
Yeah. Oh, yes, it was. The medal ceremonies were absolutely wonderful. And, you know, I went to a few of those and all held with often, well, certainly dignitaries and so on that were presenting the medals, but, you know, the music, the spectators, athletes are awarded to 8th place.
Yes.
So at Special Olympics, there's, you know, gold, silver, bronze, and then these rather beautiful ribbons with a little medallion on them.
Yes.
4 to 8.
Oh, that's awesome.
And, you know, really treated with it, you know, quite a lot of spectacle and cheering and so on.
Oh, man.
So the ceremonies are really, really terrific.
Can you tell me about the opening ceremony? I was crying my eyes out from Melbourne, you know, freezing on the couch, but I was sobbing.
Yes, there was.
What was it like?
Sobbing. I don't know if that's jet lag or I think it was full emotion. So 50,000 people at the opening.
Wow.
It was just, I mean, it was like being at the opening. It was.
It was. It was like an Olympics.
The Olympics.
Yes.
So the athletes marched out. We love being Australian. We're pretty early.
Oh, yeah, true.
And there's a lot of excitement. I think it was very hard to tell, but I reckon there were about 200 people supporting Australia.
Right.
You know, the green and gold in
the
stands. We had 64 athletes and 30 volunteers. So it was quite a big delegation that walked out. in green and gold. It was held at the Olympian Stadium, which is where the 1936 Olympics were held. And that was a very significant time. Before the war. And we were at that very site, and it was, you know, an enormous stadium with all the, you know, the athletes walking out, which took about 2 hours, and they were just brilliant. The, you know, the ceremony of the flag, the light,
the torch, the flag,
and then the party, you know, so the party and the dancing, and you know, then the fireworks at the end. So it was a wonderful celebration. And started the week with so much excitement. It really did. It was I'd never seen anything like that.
Of course. How did it feel seeing Harry there?
Oh, just the joy. Yeah. You know, and as a parent, that was certainly one of my highlights, seeing him walking out in the green and gold representing Australia.
Incredible.
Just so excited. Every athlete was just beside themselves.
Yes.
And it was almost, and you know, for some almost too much.
Yes.
But then that wonderful inclusion that says, wear your headphones.
That's right.
You know what? Wear your headphones. Hold my hand.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, you makes know? You want to weep.
How the world should be.
Some of my favourite athletes, Vicky and Andrew Robbins, our husband and wife players.
Yes.
Who competed, Andrew said, I'm going to hold Vicky's hand the whole time. And they did. Just divine. And Andrew was our oldest athlete.
Right.
In the Australian team.
What is the age range? So 50 down to.
Well, remember Australia, 7 to 75? It was, for Australia, our youngest was 16. She was a golfer, gold medalist golfer.
Amazing.
And then Andrew was 50, who plays bocce. I hope he doesn't mind me saying that, with his wife Vicky.
Yeah.
I believe the eldest athlete was 69, and she's an American athlete. And then I think the youngest is 16.
Wow.
Yes.
Worldwide. So
amazing. Incredible.
You know,
incredible.
A lovely age range. And, you know, those people have very different needs. But
yes.
You know, their support network is incredible.
My favourite moment of the opening ceremony was when Tim Shriver was speaking and then a man from Syria just ran up and hugged him and just ran up on the stage. And I thought if that was a typical place, there would have been police and security guards and getting him to the ground.
Yeah,
and Tim was just like, I'm getting a hug.
I'm getting a lovely hug. And he didn't draw breath.
He didn't.
Tim didn't draw breath for the whole week.
I bet he didn't. His social media was constant.
he was at every event. Takes it all in his stride. And that athlete then sort of exited stage left, and I'm thinking, how is this poor athlete going to find his way down?
Oh, off he went.
Ran off the stage back to his seat. and then we had a torchbearer who, if she wasn't doing athletics, she should have been.
I saw her, yes.
And actually missed the change.
Yes.
So then ran back and actually thought, well, while I'm at it, I might go and light the flame.
Yeah.
sort of directed off and maybe hand
she had main
over.
Character energy
she did
and I'm sure it was all rehearsed but what you know and she just got beyond
excited
and with all the crowds there
and people would be cheering so you're like I'm doing the right thing
I'll just keep running until somebody tells me to stop.
It was beautiful. My gosh,
fantastic.
Tell us about the athletes' uniforms. Who designed them?
Australia was extremely fortunate. The athlete uniforms were all donated by a sponsor, Jagged.
Yeah.
So they were.
Really? The whole thing.
Rebecca Judd.
Rebecca Judd, thank you very much. And they looked pretty sharp.
Yeah.
I didn't see her putting anything up about that on her Insta.
I don't know. No, I don't follow her.
I do. So.
Yeah. No, it was. They were extremely generous.
Which I like that. I'm like, I'm just doing this because I've got the money to do it because I want the accolades.
There was a lot of uniforms.
Yeah.
So, yes.
No, they don't wear anything else any other time. You put in a t-shirt and shorts in the bag. Well,
they don't wear it.
Because they are representing Australia the whole time. Some really nice different, you know, tops that they could wear in combinations. And there's dibs on here now. My husband really wants a pair of those tracksuit pants. keep away. So, no, they looked and they felt really proud.
Yeah, they looked terrific. Really, oh my goodness.
So great.
You know, that was a terrific part. And I suppose, you know, as a parent, of course, I loved watching Harry achieve his personal best and do so well. He was put in Division One, so he really was against the best in the world.
Yes.
And you know, he really did do very well on the track. Three bronzes.
Yeah.
Incredible.
As a parent, I think I enjoyed seeing him so happy.
Yeah.
And making these wonderful friends. And then also the elation on the podium. So in some other competitions, he's sort of a lot more sort of not guarded, but just sort of, oh, well, I've got to do the right thing. This was, on the podium, I've never seen him jump for joy before.
Yes.
You know, so there's that whole I'm just going to be who I am.
Yes. Because they know that when they're there.
They do.
Be whoever they want.
Be whoever.
Yes.
And the athletes all supported each other beautifully, watched each other compete and cheered. And Harry was in a relay. And it's no different from any other competition in that relay teams can be disqualified.
Yes,
you know,
it's a real competition.
Yes, scary.
And our team thought that they had come fourth, and it was, oh, you know, okay. And straight after the race, they go into this marquee to wait for the medal ceremony. They have medals going on all the time, and there's sort of a this time they have to wait 30 minutes. To see if there's any protests. So it's probably not different from the competition. So we all thought, oh yeah, they've come fourth. Da, da, da. Well, then they came out to get the medals and they are standing behind the bronze.
Right.
And they're all looking at each other thinking,
what's happened?
You sure? Sure about this? And they realised then that another team had been disqualified, which means they still get a participation ribbon.
Right.
But they actually.
Oh, that's hard, isn't it?
Yeah, which is really
brutal.
Hard. Brutal, but
it's the rules.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyone who's watched the walking at the Olympics, I can't even watch it.
I know.
I cannot
it's so
see
stressful.
People get banned.
Get that red card.
I can't see it.
No.
That's right. So this happened. Well, it was so funny because the dancing and the carousel. Like, sorry, guys.
Yay!
Sorry.
Yay for us!
And I think Harry and Chelsea were in that team,
yes.
And I think they realised that it meant that the two others in the team who hadn't got a medal would now get a medal.
Yeah. Oh, that's incredible.
So it was that sort of elation that I really loved seeing.
Yeah. Did he manage okay throughout the whole week? Did he have? Were you worried about him being overwhelmed, or how do you feel about that?
Certainly had ups and downs.
Yeah.
And I think we forget this, and I suppose that's something that I've reflected on, that opportunity to travel with a team and be away from home is a great opportunity, but it comes with challenges.
Yes.
And I think it's something that that's why when they're little, those school camps are fantastic.
Yeah,
and
practice.
And try and practice, even though there's challenges with that, that getting used to being away from home right throughout their lives is so important, because when you're travelling and competing, you're not sleeping in your own bed.
Yeah, so different.
Not eating your own food.
No.
You're probably sharing a room.
Yep.
Bathroom.
You just have bathroom.
That stuff's really hard.
The sleep's not normal.
Yep.
And, you know, I think, you know, we do training camps for that reason.
Yes.
It's the Olympics where you go and try these things out. We can't underestimate the impact that
and
that
jet lag,
yeah,
on anyone on jet lag,
yeah, huge.
So with Special Olympics, they do with the World Games, they do this host town program, where 5 days before the games start, they arrive in the country. So yeah. They arrived in Germany, and Australia was one of the, I think most teams around the world did this. They were hosted by a town called Potsdam, which is absolutely beautiful. I was so lucky, and in that town they train every day. They do some local sightseeing. There was a community function. They did a lot of cultural awareness, but they managed their jet lag as well.
Yeah.
So for those few days, they were in a room on their own.
Oh, yes. Terrific.
If they wanted to be, they didn't need to share. So they really, I thought, everywhere. Gee, that's clever.
Yeah.
That's really clever. So I think that helps. But also that practice of being okay with different foods.
Yeah.
Or they can take a bit of food if they want to, but that's hard internationally.
Yes.
It's a big thing, and it's quite a long time.
Mm.
So,
how long do they go for, the actual games?
Well, there was 9 days of competition.
Mm.
So it was, officially the 15th to the 26th, I think. But, they were away. If they went just to Germany and then back to Melbourne, it's, 2.5 weeks or something?
Yeah.
Mm. 2 weeks. So it's quite a long time. And you can prepare somewhat, but it is quite challenging.
Oh, yeah.
I remember being nervous about Launceston and just thinking, how is she going to cope? And I just, yeah, so I can imagine this is.
And they do remarkably well.
Really
well. And the volunteers are fantastic, and it's at Special Olympics, it's a 1-4 ratio.
Yes.
So Harry had one. The volunteer, the team sort of
support,
but it's also when you get to World Games, it's that
coach.
There's a coaching role as well.
Mm.
And the guy that Harry had was a younger guy who does long distance running, so they had a lot in common.
Mm.
Who looked out for Harry.
Mm.
So I think that makes a difference, that it's small ratios like that, and there are ups and downs. We did get to see them a little bit, after medal ceremonies and so on. There was one day that he was really flat. It was after his 10,000 metres and before another thing. And so as a parent, you sort of talk them through and you're left at the end of the phone call feeling terrible and thinking, the worst decision I've ever made, blah, blah, blah. And then the next time you'll speak to them, it's, dinner was great. Yeah, we had pasta again and, good. I'm glad you're feeling good again.
Yeah.
And so you've got to trust in the fact that those coaches, know what they're doing and will make sure that the athletes are well cared for and ride the roller coaster.
Yeah. Massive, Anna. Huge. Massive. Really Harry did different. Talk a little bit about the Virtus Games. So so he was already in Europe before. Could you just do a little explanation between the two?
Yeah, sure. So Harry was fortunate enough to be selected to represent Australia in cycling.
Yes.
And Virtus is a competition for people with intellectual disability at the elite level of their sport.
Yes.
So we had a team of about 118 athletes from Australia across a number of different sports.
Mm.
And Harry was fortunate enough to be competing in road cycling and track cycling. And Tour de France went through the area that they rode through 2 nights ago, I think. So Harry did say it was like being in Tour de France.
Oh, yeah. No, amazing.
Competing out there. And boy, was the competition tough.
Yeah.
Really tough. We there's some fantastic European cyclists and it was terrific for our athletes to compete on the world stage because they've competed against everyone they can in Australia.
Yeah.
They're competing against the same people.
Yeah.
So it's a actually get across there, meet some athletes from other countries and compete at that high level was fantastic. Quite a different focus to those games. It's totally about the competition, the sport.
And eliteness of it.
Right. Yeah.
And really, you know, doing the best you possibly can. And so is Special Olympics. But I suppose Virtus is really concentrating on that pathway.
Yes.
And there were entry times to meet and so on. And Harry did very well. He got a silver medal in one of the events. He does track cycling, velodrome as well as road. So, you know, that's a passion. And then we were very fortunate in that he was able to go to then Berlin.
Yes, incredible.
With a day's grace.
Yes.
So there was a change of uniform, Charles de Gaulle Hotel Airport. Big sleep. Swapping over bag of kit from Virtus, Aussie uniform, Special Olympics uniform. Simon, my husband, went home with Harry's two bicycles.
Yes. Wow.
So very grateful.
That's a fun flight.
He had a great time. And then Harry went off to Berlin and I had a couple of days and then joined the delegation or joined the supporters in Berlin. So he's had a busy time.
Really?
I
interviewed him, 2 days after he'd got back? Like they all looked a little bit tired.
Yes.
I would reckon.
So tell us about the classification within Special Olympics, because there's different races for all the athletes.
Yeah. So it's really it's unique and rather brilliant that it works. And it's been Special Olympics has been going for a long time now, you know, since the 70s, and they've really I think got a system called divisioning that means that sport can be really meaningful and competitive at your level.
Yes.
So to get into the World Games in Australia, you needed to go in the state games, then be selected for the national games. And if you got a gold medal in the national games, you got a chance to go to the World Games.
Yes.
Mm. So Harry got 4 medals at national games, 4 chances to be selected. Mm. And I was looking at it today. I think we didn't have a huge delegation from Australia. We really want to work hard on that, but we had 64 athletes. So I think in athletics we had 10.
10,
right. Yeah.
So across all the people that did athletics in the national games, we could only take 10.
Yes.
And that's hard, but it is what it is.
Yes.
That's what internationally we were given that number.
Mm.
So you had Harry, who's a long-distance runner. We had some sprinters. We had Miriam, who's a walker.
Yes.
She walks and she throws.
Yep.
We had Chelsea who
won gold.
So different athletes doing athletics, all at different levels.
Yes.
So when you get to the World Games, the first couple of days is a divisioning exercise,
right?
Where they run, you know, across the different sports, run heats or divisioning games and so on, and you end up in a group of people who are a similar ability.
Yep.
To you.
Yep. Terrific.
So, you know, Miriam got in her walk race with people who were around the same time as her.
Yeah, right, perfect.
And we found that out, you know, through the heats. So then you end up with this fantastic race of people who are about the same level.
Yes.
So you actually forget about it, you know, nobody really takes
mind about the times.
And they're in.
No.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you're cheering for the ability.
Yes.
It is huge. I mean, I got so caught up in bocce. I just had to keep going back and watching, you know, where they were at.
Yes.
It was so exciting.
Yeah.
And first time they set bocce up beautifully, so it was great for spectators. And the first time I went, I said, oh, we've got to be quiet. Oh, no. Oh. No, bocce, you can cheer. And
yeah.
Oh, okay. So it was so exciting. I have no idea what division our guys were in.
Yeah, okay.
But I know that they were in a fantastic competition with eight other countries. And, you know, they got a bronze medal, one got a silver.
Yeah.
We did so well.
Yep, yep.
And it was a really tough competition.
Yeah.
And I love that about Special
and fair.
Olympics.
And fair. Yeah.
I think it's fair.
Yeah.
You know, it really means that you are cheering along and you completely, you know, forget as to, you know, what A grade, whatever.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
it's all athletes.
Great
competing.
Competition. Yeah. And, yes. You know, so bocce was a highlight. We had four bocce players, three from Victoria and a fantastic guy from Queensland. And they were just the tightest knit team.
Oh.
And I watched their team event. And they're all, you know, helping each other out and really supporting one another. Bowling.
I was going to say, gorgeous Robert.
Oh,
what a champion.
The bowling, it goes for a long time, bowling.
Yep.
You know, I've got the attention span of
yes. And the 50 metres.
They do the first television thing of bowling, which must be, you know, you get 10 bowls or something. I said, oh, that was good. Oh, they've done this two times.
Oh, yeah.
And they're making a break. So it's, you know, that was full on. And the concentration in our bowlers, it's quite extraordinary.
I was also thinking about the equestrian, so people going over there and then having to ride horses that they don't know.
New horse.
Correct.
Oh, my
Absolutely.
Gosh.
So they are mounted on horses that they get, you know, a very short time to
get
practice
to know.
Riding and get to know. The Australians were lucky. They had beautiful horses.
Oh.
Absolutely. This gorgeous big warm blood mare and then a Palomino. And, you know, we were very fortunate and we've got very good riders because we saw some other riders from other countries being quite over-mounted.
Yes.
Having some challenges.
So tricky.
I think our equestrian people are trained very hard and they, you know, they knowing how the competition works, they would have ridden lots of
different horses.
Yes. Yeah. The basketball was a highlight. The basketball, honestly, those girls, really not good for the blood pressure. They kept going in. Two of the matches, including the match for the medal, their bronze medal, went into time on.
So stressful.
So stressful. And we're all on the edge.
Basketball's full on enough as it is.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh. And then the celebration, of course, when the goals come in and there's lots of cheering and dancing. And one of the fantastic things at all the venues was all the music and they had music at all the events and commentators. So it was full on, you know, it was really professional. And the commentators had us up and doing our dances and things at the basketball. And our basketball teams that were from all around, the players are all around. The fact that they can come together and play so well, you know, in an international setting was just fantastic. They did really well. And those poor basketballers, they get one medal. They do so many.
Oh, of course, all the heaps.
Six matches or something.
Yes.
They walk away with one medal.
Yes.
And, you know, gymnastics, swimming, they're all clinking away.
Yeah. Would have been a noisy flight home.
And the basketballers don't get their medal till, you know, the last day.
Yes. All those wins are for, no medals.
Yeah, so, you know, they all get it on the buses back to the athlete village. You've got the medals clinking.
Yeah.
Swimmers and the athletes.
Yes.
Basketball. Yeah, well, we won today.
Hopefully.
We might get a medal in 6 weeks.
That's right.
What did you learn as being a board member?
One of the things that there was a terrific, I suppose it's almost, is it an activation? It's a whole event called Healthy Athletes.
Yes.
That was just inspiring.
Tell everyone.
So it was held almost like in a big conference center, and they had they call it Healthy Athlete. They had seven different huge setups where athletes could go and get screenings for eyesight, hearing,
wow,
podiatry, movement, you know, in terms of physio,
diabetes, blood test,
mental health, diabetes, just and these are all these sort of setups that are sponsored by different organizations. And over the week, over the 9 days of competition, they did 15,000 screenings of athletes.
Wow.
Incredible.
Incredible. And so not just athletes that, well, it was open to all the athletes competing, but I saw a number of schools coming in. So every school in Berlin, special schools,
yes,
and I'm assuming, came and watched events.
Right.
Went and visited Healthy Athletes.
Smart.
Oh, dietitians.
Yes.
It was incredible. And I had a look at some stats. Over 1,000 eyeglass prescriptions were issued.
Wow.
Within in their home countries,
yeah, take them home and
a way to get discounted eyewear.
Wow!
And the countries that didn't have that, they had glasses available.
Oh,
so you know, it was quite outstanding, and the way that they ran it, you know, they ran it so professionally that you there was a big booking system and things to do while you waited. So it was run like the, you know, these enormous clinics, but fun as well.
Yeah.
And fun, and you know, we're starting to do some of this Healthy Athlete.
We had state games. I went and did it. I got my blood pressure and my finger prick. And Molly just watched. She didn't want to do the blood test, but she had her blood pressure taken. I thought that was terrific.
So I'm really interested in what we can we can do in Australia and build. One of the membership requirements for Special Olympics is that you have a medical.
Yes.
And you have a medical when you join, and then I think it's once every 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's a pain to do. It's a long doctor's appointment.
Yeah.
However, it's sort of one of our sort of fundamental philosophical views around caring for our members. And the fact that so often we'll go to the GP and get the script and the 15-minute appointment, how often is anyone having a full medical?
Yeah, rare.
And we've got data in Australia of a number of underlying health conditions that have been uncovered in our athletes due to, you know, having these medicals done, which they can then, you know, treat. And I think it's a very important part of participating at Special Olympics is that you're fit and healthy enough to actually participate at your level.
Yes.
But you're also looking after yourself and your health and well-being. And I think, you know, you often hear, oh, in Australia we don't really need that Healthy Athlete program. Well, I disagree strongly.
Yes.
We've got a number of people with disability who aren't looking after their feet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or haven't had. I reckon kids get a lot of treatment.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. But adults,
you know, I know when Harry, you know, was young, and we're, you know, on to his learning more about what his disability. Yeah. You're off doing eye tests.
Yes, of course, all the time.
But as adults, teenagers, late teenagers, and adults.
Yeah.
Not doing it.
Well, once you're discharged from hospitals, you know, we've just left the Royal Children's. Yeah, paediatrician. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's right.
Once you're sacked by your paediatrician, that's a very hard separation, isn't it? So that's sort of something that I learned about and really interested in. And a great time to offer those screenings is when you're at a Games.
Yeah.
Like a games or a national games.
Or national games.
You're waiting for for the next event.
Yes.
We can be waiting a while.
It could be right next to the vending machine, because Molly spent a lot of time at the vending machine. She loved it.
Yeah, I think I put it near the calf, didn't I? So that was fantastic. And the other thing that I went to see was the Athlete Leader Congress.
Yes.
So while this World Games is going on with 7,000 athletes, there was an Athlete Leader Congress going on.
Yes.
And I went to the opening of that, and so inspiring to see people with intellectual disability actually
leading,
shaping our organisations.
Yes.
In this concept called unified leadership, and talking about employment, talking about what studies they want to do, how they want to, shape our sports and our competition offering, and having an opinion and being heard.
Oh, everything. It was,
so they had athletes, athlete leaders from around the world. We had we have two athletes that sit on our board.
Yes.
Ruby attended and that congress, which we're very proud that she did, and she spoke about a project that she's been working on in Queensland. And, again, that was done so professionally. There were translators.
Yeah.
So people that don't speak English had the ear pods in so they could hear. And they had signing all the way through
it.
I
read
somewhere there were 70... plain English translators and sign language.
Wow. Fantastic.
Throughout the game. So they thought of everything.
They did.
Mm. Oh, well, I hope Perth gets to have it and we
No, I just hope so much.
Mm.
Yeah.
Harry just finished his athlete leadership program, didn't he? So he's been involved in that in an Australian level. Or Victorian.
Yeah, so he sits on the state committee in Australia and then on the on the National Input Council. I'm involved in athlete leadership in Victoria, and I think when I met with you last time, I said, well, one thing about Special Olympics is people never leave. Mm. So unlike the local footy club where finally retire from footy, no, it doesn't happen in Special Olympics.
No.
You stay involved and you change sports because you can no longer – running football.
Yep. So we're all going to bocce.
Yeah.
So I can't wait. It's inside.
Bocce's going to be flat out.
That's going to be so good.
That's right. So with athlete leadership, we need to enable more athletes to join that program. So we needed to sort of think, well, what is the structure of it? So while you're learning to be an athlete leader, that's a two-year program. Then you graduate and you can become a member of the athlete leader community, which is still very much involved in leadership and contributing to clubs and also spreading the word about Special Olympics, but also social, because we're finding that such an important part is to keep those connections going. When you're at school, those connections are relatively easy to keep going.
And then so it true. Ends.
And it's hard.
Yes. That can be a bit harder. So, we've got the Athlete Leader Camp in August for our new people, and the athlete leaders in the community group are going to be part of that too. And, so it's going to be fantastic down at Mount Eliza in the depth of winter.
Yes.
And guess who's going? Molly has
your family. Yes.
So she had to apply, and she did her Zoom interview, and she was so nervous but so excited to get ready for that. We had that, lined up for days. And so should I wear my uniform? I said, yes, wear your uniform. And then the man who did the interview said, tell me about some of your things that you like to do. And she said, I like Marvel and Lego. And he said, and also you right here, you like chicken salt on chips. And he said, I've never had anyone say that before.
I mean, that makes it takes the chips up a whole level.
Well, it does, So she's very excited about coming on that weekend.
So great.
And I think as someone who's anticipating leaving school, she feels like she's got somewhere that's a little bit of a role.
We're designing that at the moment, and we'll have lots of lots of different components to it. Learning more about, you know, what Special Olympics stands for and being able to talk about it in your words and what it means to you, so that because people ask about it, about Special Olympics, and for our athletes are the best people to talk about their experiences, I think, and why they go along every week.
Yes.
You know.
And she had to answer that in the – she said friendship and my fitness.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep, and that's, you know, it's the participation, it's the inclusion, it's the friendships, and and you know, you can
the belonging
you can have a goal about competing at Special Olympics for sure. Yeah, and that we had at World Games, 90% of the athletes had never been to a World Games before.
Yeah, wow.
And 90% of them had thought that they would never go to a World
Games. Of course.
So, you know, the fact it can take you to Berlin.
Oh, it's incredible.
Amazing.
And Mount Eliza.
And Mount Eliza.
Yeah, also amazing.
And just to also turn up every week and see your friends.
Oh, it's the greatest.
Yeah. Is pretty awesome as well.
It really, really awesome. Is. Yeah. It's a uniform. There's many uniforms that I can't fit into my cupboards. I know.
And I think you know, that's part of it is coming along and trying it and making up your goals as you're going.
Yeah.
And I think I worry that people see a World Games, hear about a World Games and think, oh, Special Olympics wouldn't be for us because it's that high level. It's not. It doesn't have to be.
No, it's every Saturday at Bulleen at the soccer, standing on the fence, meeting your people, seeing your children, having a great time. I love it.
And it can be what you want it to be.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, really do you see people leave without a smile on their face?
There's always something fantastic that's happened.
Feeling part of it. And as with my volunteer work, which is often meetings and boardrooms, I reconnect by going.
Yes.
I really reconnected in Berlin, sitting with the parents and hearing their stories and, you know,
so good.
And it's super.
Everyone has a story.
It's super important, Anna, because you're ahead of me in this journey, and I need to learn from you. And I yearn to hear about what did you do after school, or you know. And then when I'm standing at the fence at soccer, there's younger people who are asking me things, and that's all just magnificent stuff that's not even documented.
No, we do learn so much from each other, don't we?
And we get that
in those conversations.
The whole family's accepted. That doesn't happen in very many places for the longevity, because you might feel like that a little bit at school, but then that's gone.
And I certainly saw that when we were away. And don't think that Special Olympics parents you know, think, oh, this is nothing. It's huge. If their kids are representing their team, either at club level, state level, or internationally, we're all mother hens. We all want our kids to do as well. And it doesn't matter if your kid's in their 40s,
no,
or kid's 16 or 12. We've all still got that that desire to see them achieve and. A lot of us have been through a lot more than this.
The average. Yeah, that's what I mean.
To see that achievement is fantastic.
Beautiful.
Anna.
Absolutely love it.
Oh, thank
you. Well, thank you for your role, for your volunteering, for all the time.
Your enthusiasm.
You were the head of delegation for Team Victoria. It was huge. I remember standing at the athletics and I said to Harry, wow, your mum's doing an amazing job. And he said, she's having a great time.
I was. You didn't see all the nights that we were up late.
I know. I was like, I'm sure she's having a great time. This is enormous.
I saw your land last night and we were discussing uniform.
Oh, boy.
Because it's just huge.
It's enormous.
It's got so many different shapes and sizes.
Of course. And,
ages.
It's all about making those uniforms look absolutely stunning. And on every shape and size. And
it's challenging. And I ordered like a girl's 16, so then she had to get me a different one because I couldn't
do up a tie.
That was
girl 16 at all. For, had a girl 16.
For Tassie, yeah, I got the wrong, I chose the wrong size. So then poor Yo was having to get me a bigger one because I couldn't even get it past my boobs.
Yeah. Well, I have a rule about the polo shirts.
Yep.
I reckon go really large.
Yes.
Because there's nothing that looks worse than
oh, no, it's quite the look.
That doesn't breathe.
Quite the look.
And if it's long, you can wear it as a little dress.
And look, yeah, technically, yep. I don't ever wear black, but for our club, I will. Okay? I'm just letting you know that.
And you're from Melbourne. I can't believe
it's not one of my colours, but no. I am wearing it with pride always.
And you actually look good in it.
Oh, anyway, thank you.
Yep.
Anyway, thank you, Anna. We're going to add this to our episode with Harry and Chelsea.
Yep.
And if people want to find out about Special Olympics, there's the website.
And there'll be stuff in the show yes. notes.
And then wherever you live around the world, there is local clubs.
Mm.
Absolutely, and that's the best place to start. Find a local club. Doesn't matter if you don't have a sport yet that you've decided.
Yeah,
find what's local, what sports they're offering, and go for it, and just go once.
Yeah, so at least get there. And if you have to bribe them to get there, like I did, it's okay. worth it.
Yeah,
bribes are fine.
I bribe myself to do something. Yeah. Like after I do this washing, I'm going to do this. I'm going to have a mint slice.
It's true.
So.
Yes, or I'll get to watch that episode that I've been
yes.
watching. Yep.
Oh,
yep.
my gosh. Yep. Well, thank you, Anna. Yeah,
no,
sorry. Is there anything we missed?
I've got a question for you, Kate.
Oh, yeah.
A music question. Did you get Taylor Swift tickets? Are you into Tay-Tay?
One of my children did.
Great.
So, yes, she is going. Yes. I went last time too.
My
next question. Oh, did you? My next question is Robbie Williams.
Yeah, 100%. I'm going to Robbie Williams. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going with Bryony, who is one of the moderators in our hangout. One of my twin friends. Yep. So we are.
So that's my look forward to.
Great.
And we had to buy the tickets so long ago.
So long ago. They were like, it was like when we went to the
Book of Mormon. Yeah.
I was like, this is not this year. It's next year.
I know.
And then I thought, I'm going to miss this.
I'll miss it. Or B, where are the tickets?
I know. Thank goodness
they might not have released them yet, though. You know how they release them just before? Yeah.
But yeah, very true.
Yeah. Good. So you have to
get each other to remind you.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thank
Lovely
you.
See
you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so
thank
much.
You, Anna.
See you again
see
soon.
You. Bye.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.